שלום, אנחנו לומדים מתוך הספר כתבי בעל הסולם בעמוד 472 את מאמר לסיום הזוהר. אנחנו נמצאים בטור ב', דיבור המתהיל ומה הם מעלותיו. אתם מוזמנים להיכנס לאתר שלנו, קבלה לעם, kab.co.il.
We're studying the article speech for the completion of the Zohar, page 72 in Kabbalah for the student. Selected questions will be asked here. You can send them to kab.tv or Sviva Tova.
Yeah, in this article, Bala Sulam, he talks about several very important points that he also maybe wrote about in different other places, but here we have to understand that this article, he delivered it orally during a meal for the completion of the writing of the introductory to the Book of Zohar, the Sulam commentary. So he wrote it in a way that's a bit closer, clearer to any person.
Page 72, but what are the virtues? But what are the virtues of one who has been rewarded with Dvikut, with the Creator? They are not specified anywhere except in subtle intimations. Yet to clarify the matters in my essay, I must disclose a little, as much as necessary. I will explain the matters with an allegory. The body with its organs are one. The whole of the body exchanges thoughts and sensations regarding each of its organs. For example, if the whole body thinks that a specific organ should serve it and please it, this organ will immediately know that thought and provide the contemplated pleasure. Also, if an organ thinks and feels that the place it is in is narrow, the rest of the body will immediately know that thought and sensation and move it to a comfortable place. However, should an organ be cut off from the body, they will become two separate entities, and the rest of the body will no longer know the needs of the separated organ. And the organ will not know the thoughts of the body to benefit it and serve it. But if a physician came and reconnected the organ to the body as before, the organ would once again know the thoughts and needs of the rest of the body, and the rest of the body would once again know the needs of that organ.
So, it's clear. Any questions? Everything's clear. Okay, meaning that everything depends on the connection between the different parts of creation. Just like in our body, probably, he wants to say that the same applies to people, between people and the Creator. All depends on the connection.
According to this allegory, we can understand the merit of one who has been rewarded with Dvikut with the Creator. I've already demonstrated in my introduction to the Book of Zohar that the soul is an illumination that extends from His essence. This illumination has been separated from the Creator by the Creator's clothing it with a will to receive. This is so because the thought of creation, to do good to His creations, created in each soul a desire to receive pleasure. Thus, this form of the will to receive separated that illumination from His essence and turned it into a separate part from Him. And examine the source, because we are not going to elaborate on that here. It follows that each soul was included in His essence prior to its creation. But with creation, meaning along with the will to receive pleasure that has been instilled in it, it acquired disparity of form and was separated from the Creator, whose only wish is to bestow. This is so because, as we have explained above, the disparity of form separates in spirituality as the axe does in corporeality.
Questions? Yeah?
I didn't understand the body.
The body. I don't know.
What does it mean, the general body?
I saw people that a part of their body is paralyzed. I broke my leg. My leg really stopped doing what I wanted to do, what I told it to do. It stopped listening to my orders. The connection was broken. Isn't that not clear? A system that a part of the system disconnected.
No, that part is clear. But what is this, the general quality in the system that feels everyone and does all the calculations?
The rest of the system, it's from above. We say that from above, there's providence, there's governance that controls everything. The question is, to what extent all the rest of the parts of the system below, they belong to, or they listen to, the different orders, to the governance from above, the extent, the measure to which they realize these orders. There's the system that we learn about, and let's put it this way, there are two levels of existence here. The one that's done from above, on part of the Creator. And with this, there's no problem. It reaches everyone, it controls everyone, the upper light fulfills the whole of reality. That's called the Malchut of Insof, the world of Insof. On the other hand, from the system itself, all of its parts are broken, not feeling that they're under any kind of supervision, orders, and that all of these parts are interconnected. And also, in their connection, they're also operated by the upper force that's above them. Therefore, they don't feel, first of all, they don't feel themselves as a uniform system. They don't feel the goal that they're living for because they're disconnected from the upper force that's operating them. And that's the problem. How? First of all, how will we understand that this is the preferable, desired state, that this is how it should be from the start? Disconnection. And how do we reach a state where we connect, where we once again connect, where we're together with the Creator in a complete state, in the light of Ein Sof, above all the limitations that our disconnection gives us? How do we do it?
The closest thing I understand is like the 10. When we begin to restore the connections between us, you suddenly begin to feel something collective, general like that. But what is that general quality? Is this a central place that controls everything, a central brain that controls the body, or does everyone feel the whole body?
Everyone feels everyone, and everyone feels the entire body, because everyone's all in all a part of the 10 Sefirot. And it's impossible for us to feel the body without each of us feeling how he's connected to others. We attain all the connections, everything. It's like you study the Pertsuf. In the Pertsuf, you have 10 Sefirot. All in all, if we're all operating, there can't be some kind of a malfunction there. Eventually, we have to reach a state of mutual connection, mutual completion, to such a measure where our total connection will be called the Creator. If every time we will correctly realize the connection upon the will to receive that's revealed in each and every sefira, the Pertsuf will give us a state of neshama, of the soul. And this is who we'll be. Let's read.
We continue with the paragraph that begins with the word thus. Thus now the soul is completely similar to the allegory about the organ that was cut off and separated from the body. Even though prior to the separation, both the organ and the whole body were one and exchanged thoughts and sensations with one another, after the organ has been cut off from the body, they have become two entities. Now, one does not know the other's thoughts and needs. It is even more so after the soul is dressed in a body of this world. All the connections it had prior to the separation from his essence have stopped, and they are like two separate entities.
Continue, I don't know. Do you want to ask anything? First of all, everything was connected. The soul was full with light. This was before the sin and the system of Adam Rishon. There was no corruption yet, so there was no correction, but it's like the final state, that like it's supposed to be in the final state. And then there was the breaking, and we're after the breaking.
Accordingly, we understand the merit of one who has been rewarded with cleaving unto him once more. It means that he has been rewarded with equivalence of form with the Creator by inverting the will to receive imprinted in him through the power in Torah and Mitzvot. This was the very thing that separated him from his essence and turned it into a will to bestow. And all of one's actions are only to bestow and benefit others, as he has equalized his form with the Maker. It follows that one is just like the organ that was once cut off from the body and has been reunited with the body. It knows the thoughts of the rest of the body again, just as it did prior to the separation from the body. The soul is like that too. After it has acquired equivalence with him, it knows his thoughts once more as it knew prior to the separation from him, due to the will to receive's disparity of form. Then the verse,
if we correct the will to receive that separates us from the system, then we'll know everything that's going on in the system, and we'll be a part of it, and it will be a part of us. And the force that's controlling the system is called the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Creator, or the upper force, doesn't matter how you call it. Meaning everything depends on the correct connection between us. There was a corrected system. Oh, not corrected, but how to say, before the sin. Not corrected, but the system existed. It was complete, it was whole. But in order to bring the creatures to a feeling of deficiency, for them to examine and see what's wrong, then the system appears before them as something broken. It's like always, like we learn at school or where we go to study someplace, we're shown broken parts and how do we arrange them together. And then what we get is some kind of a machine, some kind of a complete system. From shattering to completion, this is what we learn. And here it's the same, as if the system of Adam HaRishon, the system broke, and of course this is all only with respect to us, and we have to collect them correctly. These parts is, this is us, we. How do we connect these parts in order to once again become a single system? This is what it's talking about all in all. So is it clear? Yes. Taking into consideration the example with the organ cut off from the body,
yes.
I understand that the soul that was cut off from the general system, it's like an organ, but it has the desire to go back to the body, to becoming a part of the body.
no desire to return or not. That's a question. And what? They awaken it, so it would return.
So I understand if someone something's cut off, if you then you'll go to the doctors and he'll try to glue it back.
That's from the side of the rest of the body. The leg doesn't want or not want to return to correct state. We don't speak about it in this way, of course. But let's say.
So, this is what I'm having a hard time to ask. If the system wants the soul to come back and the soul wants to come back, what's so hard then?
Ask yourself.
There's the disparity of form, there's the will to receive, but there's something here that's...
I'll tell you why. A part of the system broke off, severed itself from the system. Then you can replace the part, and that's it. The problem is that in our life, the part doesn't need to equip itself with a certain special connection with the system. The problem is that the part detaches from the system because he received evil inclination. He becomes an egoist. He thinks of himself. He can't think of the system. He needs to overcome his ego, his thoughts of his self, and to acquire thoughts about the system, concern about the system, a deficiency for the system, for the Creator who fills the system. And he wants to return there to support the system and not because he gets something for himself, or if it's good or bad to him. If he acquires such deficiencies, such qualities, such deficiencies, then he returns and reattaches himself to the system. It's not that you're taking some mechanical piece and you reconnect it with the system. You take these blocks, and from blocks you build a house. Each and every block has its own desire, its own intentions, its own qualities. It doesn't want to just connect. When it broke off from the general system, now it has its own will to receive. She doesn't want to hear others. She's completely opposite the system. She wants to exist on its own. Or maybe for the whole system to serve it. It's opposite.
I can understand this to some measure, but I understand that the axe that cut off the soul is actually the will to receive that the Creator created.
Mm-hmm.
The benefit is that that soul, that part, will return to a stronger connection.
No, that part that belonged to the system before the shattering was a mechanical piece, you could say. It would spin, it would do whatever it was forced to do by the nature of creation. Just thanks to the fact that the system was created. Now he received the power opposite the system. He doesn't want it. He wants to control the system. He doesn't want to know the Creator. He wants to rule. Now he needs to acquire such a desire, a new desire, to serve the system, to bow his head before the system, to be the smallest of everyone. And when he glues himself in this way to the system, by that he receives knowledge and a feeling of the entire system, not his own role, but the role of the entire system. By returning to the system, he comes to know the upper force that's above the system, that created the system and that broke it. And then he knows the entire system, the force of the Creator, meaning the one that fills the system, and he understands his thoughts. That means he comes to the thought of creation. Why did he create it? Why did he shatter it? Why did he do it? For what? To what end? What is it going to come to at the end. That's the purpose of everything. This is something that's even above this entire system. These are the thoughts of the Creator before He created. You understand? That's why we are in a very complicated process. It's very difficult for us to adapt ourselves in any way to take a step forward and to return and glue ourselves to the system. And we need to acquire new powers.
Were the system complete, then the state itself would have already been complete.
In the whole state, we were like little screws in the system, or little cogwheels. When I'm coming back, I'm a cogwheel, but I have the additional intellect and feeling for the entire system. I used to be a tiny screw in the system. Now when I'm coming back to the system, I become like Keter towards everyone. I attain the Creator. I equalize myself with Him, with the complete Creator. And not that part that was in me, that in me determined how I would revolve around before the shattering, before the sin. This is a great gift for us that the Creator did things in this way. Otherwise, the Creator being would stay, it's called dead. There would be nothing of Himself. No feeling, no intellect. Whatever the Creator gives Him in order to work. In the form of still, vegetative, animate. The purpose of the Creator is for the created being to come to His level. Same qualities, same reason, same role, everything. And this is possible only by building the system, breaking it, and letting each and every one reconnect once again against the ego of the entire system. And then he has to acquire all of it.
So what's the use if that cogwheel will have the brains that can operate the system? What's the benefit that screw that fell out returns as a cogwheel?
He returns as a cogwheel, but with the reason and the feeling of the entire system. He knows how to operate the entire system by himself with the complete agreement of the Creator. This complete agreement raises him to the degree of the Creator, although he's only a little screw. But it raises him to the degree of the Creator. And this way, all the screws, all the other cogwheels in the system, and then the entire system in its entirety rises from the degree of the created being to the degree of the Creator, and it is in adhesion with Him. This means that it rises 620 times higher and reaches wholeness, because the Creator is wholeness, and the system rises to His degree. Of course, those are just words. But let the doctor ask something.
But what he writes here, that the organs cut off and doesn't feel, it's hard to associate with it, because a single organ can't live by itself. But suppose when your hands numb something, the hand doesn't feel, but the body really suffers as a result.
He's severed from the body to such an extent that he doesn't suffer. He has no life.
No, that the hand's paralyzed. It's lifeless.
What do you mean? Do you have a life or not?
Yeah.
You're severed, but you have life, right? This means that you have the life of a dead person. Spiritually, you're dead, but in this world, you're alive.
What I want to ask is, the hand that doesn't feel the body, but the body feels it and wants to bring it back.
There's no such thing as a hand. Forget the hand. You can't take this example to anything, to everything. The part that was severed doesn't feel itself as severed. Rather, little by little, they bring to him such a feeling, gently, in order to not corrupt his free choice.
So it means that this part really depends on something great that pulls it back.
he depends on the entire system that governs him and the creator in it.
Okay, let's continue, starting with the words. Because then he attains the complete knowledge of the Creator, and also he's rewarded with all the secrets of the Torah, as his thoughts are the secrets of the Torah.
And this is when the severed part returns to adhesion with the body.
This is what Rabbi Meir said: all who study Torah lishma are granted many things. The secrets of Torah are revealed before them, and they become like an ever-flowing spring. As we have said, through engagement in Torah lishma, meaning by aiming to bring contentment to one's Maker through one's engagement in the Torah, and not at all for one's own benefit, one is guaranteed to cleave to the Creator. This means that one will achieve equivalence of form, and all one's actions will be to benefit others and not oneself at all. This is just like the Creator, whose every action is only to bestow and to benefit others. By that, one returns to Dvikut with the Creator, as was the soul prior to its creation. Hence, one is granted many things and is rewarded with the secrets and flavors of the Torah and becomes like an ever-flowing spring. This is so because of the removing of the partitions that parted one from the Creator, so he has become one with him again as before one was created. Indeed, the whole Torah revealed and concealed in the thoughts of the Creator without any difference, yet it is like a person drowning in the river, whose friend throws him a rope. This is so because of the removing of the partitions that parted one from the Creator, so he has become one with him again as before one was created.
Questions: is this clear or not? On that, without philosophizing.
He says that the soul, when it returns, it attains it in the same way. And you're saying that there is some kind of addition when the soul comes back. But here he says that it returns and knows the Creator as it did before.
Yes, that's how he writes. It was connected before and it's connected now. It's all according to the deficiency in it. If the deficiency in her is 620 times greater, it attains 620 times more. But the important thing is that it knows the entire system and it operates itself willfully, willingly, intentionally.
There are a few sentences that repeat themselves and it's kind of confusing. He says that by that a person returns to be adhered with the Creator like the soul before it was created, or he says that every soul, it was included in the Creator before it's it's not clear what soul was there before it was created.
We're not going to get into this philosophizer.
No, it's not that I'm philosophizing. I just want to understand, because Dari, suppose, he writes, before the reality was created, there was a simple light fulfilling all of reality. Did we exist in that reality in some way?
I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. I'm telling you seriously. You're taking words and you're starting to play with them this way or that way. But it's written this way, written that way. Attain and understand. There's nothing to do. These things are so remote from us that there's nothing we can do. What is the state of the soul before it was created, after it was created, before the shattering, after the shattering?
So we're talking only from the moment that the will to receive was created?
Of course. Before that, it's only Atzmuto, his essence.
Indeed, the whole Torah, revealed and concealed, is the thoughts of the Creator without any difference. Yet, it is like a person drowning in the river, whose friend throws him a rope to save him. If the drowning catches the rope in its near part, his friend can save him and pull him out of the river. The Torah is like that too, being entirely the thoughts of the Creator. It's like a rope that the Creator throws to people to save them and pull them out of the klipot, shells. The end of the rope that is near to all the people is the revealed Torah, which requires no intention or thought. Moreover, even when there is a faulty thought in the mitzvot, it is still accepted by the Creator. As it is written, one must always engage in Torah and mitzvot, lo lishma, since from lo lishma, he will come to lishma.
Meaning, it's up to us to perform various actions in order to correct the soul, because only the soul requires correction, our body, and nothing except the soul. The soul means the desire that was corrupted and became in order to receive, where it needs to be in order to bestow. This is the correction, to transfer the intention of in order to receive to in order to bestow. And that's the only thing we require. Everything that we do is only to bring about the change of the intention that rides above the desire. Not more than that. All other things that don't support it in any way are redundant. They're a waste of time.
Barur?
Clear? You want to ask about that?
About Bala Sulam's style. Here you raise the Creator, here he says, Hashem Yitbarach.
I asked you if you're asking about this or not. Get used to asking about what we're talking about. I don't know. Why are you not with us? He wants to ask about the before creation. What is the Creator, blessed be He? And come on, guys, that's how you treat it seriously? The text itself is very deep. It looks like something that we've read before. Where are you?
Hence, the Torah and Mitzvot are the end of the rope, and there is not a person in the world who cannot grab it. If one tightly grips it, meaning is rewarded with engaging in Torah and Mitzvot Lishma, to bring contentment to one's Maker and not to oneself, the Torah and Mitzvot lead one to equivalence of form with the Creator. This is the meaning of "and to cleave unto Him." At that time, one will be rewarded with attaining all the thoughts of the Creator, called secrets of the Torah and flavors of the Torah, which are the rest of the rope. However, one is granted it only after one has achieved complete dvikut.
In the corrections that we make, as he explains to us in the 613 advices and 613 deposits, everything is about the connection between us. In the 613 desires of ours, we have to aim them in order to bestow, and then in these 613 desires we connect between one another and to this complete system. And this is done from the simplest actions to the highest intentions.
No.
You.
Bala Sulam, in this article, he aims at people that know that there is a rope that was thrown to them into the river of life. But people that are not aware of this rope,
they're not aware.
What about them?
There are 8 billion people in the world.
Right.
He was writing it to 800 out of them.
Can I elaborate a bit? It also has to do a bit with dissemination.
There's no time. Come on.
70 years since the State of Israel was established, and we're in a state where most of the people, as we know, are not aware of us, are not aware of this place that of what we want to tell them about. And today, in a state where everyone's really confident that we're in the best possible economical situations, the United States supporting us, such a person is—he's not searching. How do you reach these people that have no question about this? How do you touch them?
I don't know. In short, you're saying that we're lacking troubles.
The question is really, maybe these 70 years are symbolizing the 7 good years, or before the 7 bad years. How do we clarify this to a person that, friends, wake up? Because after the current president that's so supportive of us, after him there will come a blow.
He's supporting us? There wasn't anyone worse than him.
The way people feel here in Israel. Look at your prime minister today, how he's walking around with us all pompous.
I'm talking about Obama.
No, I'm talking about Trump.
Yeah, Trump supports. Yeah, but wait a little with his support.
So what I really feel is that today we see in Europe how anti-Semitism is on the rise in Poland and different other places. This sleeping animal is starting to wake up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's all up to us. What are we going to do?
We will disseminate what we need to disseminate with all our strength, with all possibilities. Because if not for that, you know, we have to do what Baal Salam did, what Kabbalists do.
I'll tell you what I feel. I want to write an article about 70 years to the establishment of the State of Israel. And the question is, when you're about to write something like that, how can you touch the people? How low should the explanation go?
They should feel
how simple should it be? So to awaken those things that Bala Sulam tells us about, that if you don't correct, then there'll be calamities and so on.
Of course, without it, they'll not listen to you. And this way, they'll get mad, they'll want to beat you up, and through that, they might listen a little, and something will touch them.
To awaken by such excerpts.
Yes, no choice.
Thank you.
Well, you're not going to publish to them a new recipe for some dish.
This evening, there's Tu Bishvat, and we'll have special events in our centers all over Israel. And our groups are going to bring guests to listen to a lecture that our friends will give about the holiday of Tu Bishvat, because man is the tree of the field. And some of the people that will come there, they'll meet us maybe for the very first time. So how can we explain about the importance of the environment through the holiday of Tu Bishvat? One message that we can tell a person who stumbles upon the wisdom of Kabbalah for the very first time, how does Tu Bishvat and Kabbalah, what does it have to do with our development?
Man is a tree of the land. He has to believe that he's in a field. If he wants to go from just a field, a barren field of thorns, to a field that the Creator had blessed, that a tree will grow out of it full of fruit, he needs an environment. That's the field which the Creator blessed, meaning everything that's explained in the wisdom of Kabbalah should know about the development of his soul more than the development of his body. And all this Tu B'Shvat, the 15th of the month of Shvat, is to help a person reach the beginning of his blossoming. It's the development of the trees in nature. Similarly, it's the development of men. We have to awaken people. Awaken them. People have to understand that life isn't over after living 70, 80 years here. That they can use these years in order to go through this world, to grow until they reach the next world. You shall see your world in your life. As it's written, that's that is the benefit from Tu B'Shvat, from 15 of the month of Shvat. And there are many articles. Typically, they talk about how to take care of the trees, how many actions you have there. According to the actions you have to give to a person to perform, so he would grow accordingly. Let's hope that we will be able to explain it. When does it take place here? When?
In Petah Tikva, there's also a group that's gathering, but it's going to happen also all around Israel. Like I said, these are our friends and also the guests that they're inviting. Once a month we have this event where you can invite new people, guests, and also tomorrow you're going to give a special lesson to the groups in Ashkelon, which will prepare us for the Congress and about Tu B'Shvat.
Very well. Good luck to all of us. Let's grow.
Daily task from Moscow.
Большая благодарность за утренний урок. С нами были.
We'd like to thank everyone for this great opportunity with us, the Chavir group, Petah Tikva, Moscow, 10 number 8, Italy, 10 number 2, Kazan, Barnaul, and our forefathers that were also with us. We believe that daily task to make sure that all the friends in the 10 will be in prayer during the day. And this is the prayer that we've put together during the lesson. Again, to make sure that during the day, all the lessons will be in the prayer that we put together during the lesson. L'chaim! Thank you very much, Moscow, and the Zohar lesson. You're all invited to the Zohar lesson this evening, 6 p.m. We're all one family. The World Kabbalah Lam Convention. We're inviting everyone to the World Kabbalah Lam Convention from the 20th to the 22nd of February in Tel Aviv. For further details, contact us. And now, let's see a short clip.
את הרגעים הכי חזקים בחיים.
The strongest moments in life.
אי אפשר להסביר במילים.
You can't explain them in words.
אלא רק להרגיש.
But you can only feel. Special lesson with Rav Lightman, all of our friends from the south of Israel. You're invited to a lesson tomorrow at 7 p.m. in the city of Ashkelon, 31st of January. We're gathering at 6:30. Lesson starts at 7. And let's sing a song.
Come on, people, gather round
above this time and space.
Come on, people, gather round,
let's find a higher place.
Come on, people, gather round,
the circle awaits.
Come on, people, gather round,
put a smile on your face. Clear your senses, free your mind, your heart will keep the beat. Let's all sing together, so get up on your feet. Completing the circle,
come my way.
Completing the circle,
unite and play.
Completing the circle, let the love shine night and day. Completing the circle,
come my way.
Completing the circle,
unite.
Let the love shine night and day.
Come on, people, gather round
above this time and space.
Come on, people, gather round,
let's find a higher place.
Come on, people, gather round,
the circle awaits.
Come on, people, gather round,
put a smile on your face. Clear your senses, free your mind, your heart will keep the beat. Let's all sing together, so get up on your feet. Completing the circle,
come my way.
Completing the circle,
unite and play.
Completing the circle, let the love.
Come my way.